The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by
Kate
McDonald. It is.
Who?
Well, I was going to do it in a minute.
Are you?
Okay.
Who are you?
Jolie Two Kids. Well, actually, not yet. Not yet. Later on today, I will be Jolie Two Kids, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Friday, the 12th of November, and this is episode 184. And yeah, I've just realised I have a Super J-Cast episode for both days that my children have been born. So,
oh my goodness.
Imagine that.
Holy shit. So, I you know.
And the first one for when the day Esther was born, I believe that's the one when we annoyed everyone by reading the erotic fan fiction. So, I wonder what hilarious things we're going to do to piss people off to commemorate the birth of my second
child. Who do you want to annoy today? Yeah. Right. Who do you want to annoy today, Joel?
I'll tell you who I'm going to annoy. This is the AEW fans, but we'll save that. Oh. I'm leaving that one in the holster, Damon.
Oh, no. Oh, so let's put the pro wrestling aside for a second. And let's get into the meat and the potatoes, if you will. How you feeling? I mean, today is your day, right? You're driving to the hospital today. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's 5 a.m. now, and the C-section is set for 1 in the afternoon.
Oh my goodness.
So in a matter of hours, please God, you know, hoping everything goes okay, my little baby boy, Arthur, he'll be joining us.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm terrified. It's going to be chaos. Like, we're barely struggling, just managing to look after Esther as it is, because she's such a handful.
Yeah.
But I'm just holding on to the moment. The moment where Esther gets to meet Arthur for the first time.
Yeah.
And I hope it's good. She better be happy, because if she like starts crying or something, they're going to be like, "Oh fucking hell, this isn't going to work, Mally."
Take it back. How's she doing? How's Mally?
She's doing really well. She's staying very active and mobile, but busy. She's been like getting everything ready, all the equipment, all the shit that you need for a newborn. She's been sorting that out. But on the other hand, she is absolutely destroy me. Like, I'm getting crucified for every little thing that I do wrong.
Okay.
So, you know, I just, like, the whole, you know, I get up pretty early, like 5:30 every day, you know, work full day, come home. When I come home, it's usually some sort of baby related thing. You know, I go straight from work to do something with Esther or go to the hospital. And then it's, you know, sorting out a dinner, clean that up, giving her a bath, brushing her teeth, putting her to bed, and then she's asleep. And then Maddie will be like, "Have you watched that YouTube video yet about how to install the new car seat?" And I'd be like, "Oh no, I forgot." And she'd be like, "You don't care about this family. You're too selfish. You could do, you know, you're this, that, you could."
Yeah. Yeah. All you care about is that fucking podcast of yours.
Yes. Yeah.
Fucking show of yours. Oh my God.
But as I keep saying, that's the life of a dad. You take all the shit and get none of the praise.
Well, listen, I could not be more happy for you. I am thrilled. I know this is an exciting day. I can't believe we're doing a show today. Cannot believe it. But let it be known.
Look, the people have got to know our ice cold takes on power struggle. We owe it to them, Damon.
I mean, seriously, for all the bitching and moaning people do about us, I want people to understand that when you're ready to fire off that dumb fucking tweet that we don't give a shit about, just know. Like, the dude is doing a fucking show about New Japan Pro Wrestling on the day his son is born. I mean, that, you know, who give me another show that's doing that. I mean, period. Give me another show, period, in the history of broadcasting that is doing that, has done that. That is this is an amazing moment for me. I'm not going to lie. This is one of the greatest moments in my life. Just doing this right now with you. This is amazing.
That's it, Dave. I mean, the podcast grind is real. And there's a lot of people out there who think, oh, yeah, I'm going to start a podcast. Yeah, it'll be fun. Mm. And get to about episode 4 and they're like, oh, this sucks. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
But here we are, 184 episodes of this crap. We're still going. We're still going.
No, again, I know we say it a lot. And like I do this just, we just happen to record it and share it with people. You know what I mean? And just, and we don't even share it. We just put it up there. If you want to listen, listen. That's really what it is. That's really what it is. And that's not to say that like I don't appreciate everyone that listens. Like I'm still overwhelmed by people that actually listen, and like I'm sitting here.
Speak for yourself, Damon. I'm pretty ambivalent.
You're done. Them. You don't give a fuck. Give a shit. Wow. Oh, look, I'm excited. I know our listeners are excited. I know the Two Daddy Joel fan club is excited. So yeah, let's get it recorded. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for Mally. I'm so happy for your family. I love you guys, and I wish you nothing but the best. And good luck today. It'll be over before you know it. And then you're going to be holding that kid in your arms. And holy shit! So good on you. Excellent job. Your sperm works. Yay.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I just keep thinking back to that moment when we did the first cycle of IVF. And it didn't work. We didn't get any viable embryos. And the doctor texted me with that information. And Mally was still asleep. So I had to wake her up and be like, hey, the doctor's just texted. None of the embryos are any good. Oh. And like she was just devastated, obviously. And she was like, why has it happened to us? And so I just keep thinking back to that moment, thinking like, "Fuck me, now I've got two. What is going on here?"
Yeah, that sperm. You might want to calm it down a little bit. You might want to take something to calm that shit down.
I'm booking a vasectomy today, Damon. I've had enough.
Hold hands while you're on the table. While you're there, Doc, while you're tightening up things, can you loosen things up here?
I need a scalpel. I do it myself.
Oh,
so yeah, big day and. Get on Red Circle. Give us some fucking money.
Yes.
I need it, dude.
Daddy's got to pay you new pair of shoes. Well, there we go. So now we transition smoothly from the miraculous gift that is a birth of a child to World Tag League.
A bit of housekeeping first, then, because we're taking a week off, so yes. You won't be hearing us for about 2 weeks because you are off on your holidays
in
Mexico, and I will be having some paternity leave. So we're going to have – I'm really excited about this, actually. We have my friend Alan, who's a good mate of mine. We went together to Wrestle Kingdom 12. So my first Wrestle Kingdom trip, I went with Alan. So he loves New Japan just as much as me. Awesome podcast host. He did the Smartcast with me for years, so I thought he'd be the perfect co-host to fill in. And then as the Damon for the episode, we got the incredible Booze Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
I'm so excited. I'm going to make sure that all you listeners send her lots of questions about the Golden Lovers to annoy her, to make sure we get her nice and fired up so we get some takes. So that is going to be a spicy one, I'm sure. And then we've got so many great submissions from our listeners that I couldn't just be like, nah, sorry, guys, we're not doing anything for you. So I thought we'd have a bonus fan or listener takeover episode where we get a bunch of these people and they're all going to review about Best of the Super Juniors or World Tag League Show. We'll stitch them all together and there'll be a listener takeover super show because I sat on Sunday night and listened to them all and I was just like, fuck me. These people are better than us.
I know.
I haven't given them much to work with. I mean, if you've got to sit down and do your Super J cast cameo reviewing fucking Chase Owens and Farley against Yoshihashi and Goto, whatever it is I've given them, then I apologize, but I'm sure they'll be able to make the proverbial chicken salad out of it. So yeah, you'll have two bonus episodes coming your way shortly, and I'm thrilled. I can't wait to listen to these.
Yeah. I mean, I like I said, I think just giving us, you know, a well-deserved break, you know, finally I get to relax a little bit after I, you know, I got my Xanax. I got a nice couple Xanax just waiting for me, Joel, to get on that fucking airplane. But yeah, well, soon it'll be a margarita in my hand and my toes in the sand, and I cannot wait. And you,
Louis says, any packing tips for vacation/holiday?
Me packing tips?
Yeah.
Do I have any packing tips?
Yeah. What's the strategy?
Shove everything in one fucking bag. our goal. So we actually have had conversations about this. Our goal is no checked luggage, right? So we're just gonna do carry on. So we're being very frugal with what we bring, because you know how you always go away and it's like you pack for, like, you know, you bring shit you know you're never gonna fucking wear, and like I just don't want to do that. We're not gonna do that. So we're gonna pack lightly, but yeah, I just honestly, our flight is on Sunday. I'm packing Saturday night. You know what I mean? Now Cheryl, on the other hand, she's got shit all over the fucking bedroom, like, oh, you know, this and that and the other thing. But even then, she said, I'm just doing one carry on. So that is the goal.
And another question here from William says, predictions of what wacky things might happen in New Japan while you're gone. I mean, we can sort of guarantee there's going to be something like groundbreaking news,
yeah,
that we're going to miss.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. There's probably going to be something that's like monumental, and we're going to be like texting each other like, picked a great week. That gives our guest hosts some room to breathe, right? They get something to talk about and discuss. And again, when we had this idea, I was excited to hear just a fresh voice in this, and to give them a platform and let them listen by name only. Is it the Super J Cast? I want them to do what they feel comfortable doing and talk. And hopefully there's banter and a chemistry between everyone. I'm excited to hear somebody different, and I definitely will be listening. So know that it better be fucking entertaining. Now I was kind of hoping this, they would do some ratings, like who's a better performer on the microphone, me or Joel? Who's more attractive, me or Joel? Who's who's got a better butt? I don't know what the fuck we're talking
about. Rate our sperm motility.
Well, yours is, you're, you know, I'm, please, I'm lucky if I can get fucking hard at this point. I mean, that's a bonus for me at this point. I'm like, hey, look what I got. Jeez, I didn't expect this.
Get the camera.
Camera. Build a statue, build a monument. But yeah, I'm excited. I will be listening. I will be listening at some point during this voyage. So good luck to everyone. That should be exciting. And again, I hope everybody tunes in and gives nothing but positive feedback.
Okay. So shall I start by burying the AEW then?
Yeah, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Please stop asking me questions about AEW. When I put out the call for questions, like half of them are like, fucking, oh, what do you think of this match on Dynamite? Which AEW guys would you like to see wrestle this one? What do you think about this AEW guy during this match? I don't fucking care. I don't watch it. Yeah. I'm sure it's great. I know it's great. I know people love it. I don't watch it. I'm not going to start watching it. I've explained the reasons why. Stop asking me questions about it. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, that's I kind of feel the same way. In the sense, I don't, you know, like if it impacts our world, it impacts our world. But like, one, I hate fantasy booking. Like, I'm not going to sit here and fucking fantasy book. And two, I mean, again, if fucking Okada walks down the fucking ramp and challenges Kenny, great, we're going to talk about it. But until that time comes, I mean, I don't know. I can't think of anything more boring to talk about.
Yeah, agreed. Let's talk about Jay White now, because I've got a few things to get off my chest about that. Okay, so here's a quote. Fightful spoke with Jay White and asked about a report from earlier this year. White confirmed to Fightful that there was, in fact, WWE interest.
Oh.
There were also reports that he signed a 7-year contract in 2018, which he denied. Exactly like we fucking reported, Damon. So I'm sure all the Reddit mutants are forming an orderly queue to get their apologies into us.
I don't know how many times we have to prove that we're right. I don't know how many times we have to prove that we're right. And it seems like every time something like this happens, we have to, you know, we have people that defend this. I see it and I appreciate it. But like, I mean, don't you think it's weird that we really don't talk about shit like that anymore? And it's not like we don't get information. We're done with it. You know what I mean? Like, we're just fucking done with it.
All we get is grief from it. Just people misquoting us where there is interest from WWE turns into, oh, these guys said that Jay White's going to WWE.
Right.
No, we didn't. You know what? I don't even care, because I don't want people like you as fans.
Yeah.
So go and get in the bin.
Man, you're saucy. You're
throwing everyone under the bus today.
No, anybody else?
We should do this show at this time regularly.
I know.
We have to, actually.
Do you think so? Do you think this is the new schedule?
I think so. Does this work for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's 5 in the afternoon for me. I mean, it's great. Oh, I can sleep. It's hard with hockey season because it's every night. Not every night, but a lot of nights. It's like I'm there till 11:30. I get home. I'm exhausted. Boom. Sleep. Wake up at 5:30 and do it all again. So isn't that amazing? Like, I'm sorry not to harp on the Jay White thing, but man, here's what it is. Here's what I don't understand. I understand that people might be skeptical that a dumb podcast like ours could gain any traction with anybody that would be willing to give us or at least talk pro wrestling with us. And in that conversation of talking about pro wrestling, people share information with us. Like all the name dropping that people do, all the thing, you know, all the people that follow us, just go down to our followers, the people who follow us, just go down that list. And I'm not saying we talk to any one of them on a regular basis, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people that fucking follow us. You know what I mean? Like, just that doesn't tip you off that we might be fucking clued in on some shit? Some shit? Come on, people. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. We're fucking great.
It's important to keep in mind, like, Jay White is a fucking liar. Like, most of the stuff that comes out of his mouth is going to be working, it's going to be bullshit, but somehow we managed to sift through all the bullshit and pull out the two nuggets of truth, and people still getting their knickers in a twist over that. So all of you can eat shit. That's my last word on it.
I love it. All right. Well, who else is under the fucking bus? Let's go. We're on a roll.
Juice Robinson. Let's get him next.
Let's get
his
him under the bus.
Up in 3 months.
All right.
What are your thoughts on that? Do you think he's going to stay? Do you think he's going to leave? Do you care either way? Because, I mean, Juice is a guy, like, around 2018, 2019, I thought he was fucking great. I'm sure I'm on record on this podcast as saying I think he's going to be a future champion. But I think as a mixture of bad booking, right, because they didn't capitalize on that, he's always been the guy that was fed to the new WWE toy, ex-WWE toy, whether that's Cody or Mox or whatever. Bad luck, you know, things like him missing out on, was it King of Pro Wrestling in 2019?
Yeah.
Where he wasn't able to make the Moxley rematch, injuries, pandemic, whatever. And also, I guess after all that, he's just kind of mentally checked out. So I think a combination of those things leads me to say he's peaked. He hit a ceiling in New Japan. Thanks for the memories. Probably best for him if he goes off and does something else.
I tend to agree. There was that pocket of time where I think everyone was hoping and getting rewarded for being a fan of Juice Robinson, right? No doubt. But I just think that was how long ago? That was a long time ago. And again, a lot of circumstances have occurred in the world and in pro wrestling and all of that. Is anyone seriously, be honest with yourself. Is anyone going to lose sleep if Juice Robinson isn't back on a New Japan Pro Wrestling roster? Honestly.
I think Hikuleo might. He's going to have no one to wrestle.
Yeah. I mean, look. And we're not saying this to shit on Juice Robinson. It's just like, okay, like everyone getting weirded out by the fact that, oh, Juice Robinson might go, okay, great, but fine. I don't think people are staying up late at night in the New Japan offices thinking, oh, guys, we're up Schitt's Creek now. Juice Robinson is not going to resign. And the panic that ensues in the New Japan office, it's not happening. If he goes, he goes. And here's the thing. I'll tell you flat out. If he leaves, guarantee you he'll make more money and less travel. And I don't want to say an easier schedule, but like he can kind of dictate his schedule to a certain degree. Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's best for everybody. I'm totally okay with it.
Another bit of news here is the relaxation of Japan border policies. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, it's 3 days if you're vaccinated with approved vaccines. I think if you're Johnson & Johnson, you're out of luck. But yeah, a lot of excitement about this, rightly so. But I think we need to temper those expectations because from my understanding, there's going to be a pretty fat backlog of visa applications. So don't expect a flood of foreign wrestlers coming into New Japan anytime soon. It's going to take a while, right?
No. Don't they have somebody at the airport? They don't have anybody that works at the airport that's going to stop Kenny Omega from coming in? No?
Hashtag stop Kenny.
No? They don't? I thought they had the stroke because they're owned by Bushiroad to stop people coming into the fucking country. No? They don't have that?
Wait. No, they can actually. They could have brought in Aussie Open. They could have brought in West Coast Wrecking Crew. They could have brought in Good Brothers to make the World Tag League good. But they decided not to. They decided to make it deliberately shit to troll all of you losers. So, have some of that.
Have some of that. You mean Chris Charlton is not sitting in the immigration office right now, like waiting for wrestlers to come in to be like, no, mate, you can't come in. No.
Like, well, we've got these economic experts and these health workers going to come in first. And Chris Jones is like, no, Barrett Brown first.
Yes. Aussie Open. Come on in. No. Don't even bother getting out the passports. You're in. Come on. Just walk through. Get your bags. Come on. Bus waiting outside. Oh, Lordy.
The entire roster of Strong coming along in the airport. They're with me, guys. They're with me.
Right. They're with me. I remember just recently, not super recently, but one of the return visits from Kevin Kelly, and he was just like, oh my God, I've been sitting in this airport for 3 hours. I just like, oh my God. What a nightmare this fucking COVID thing has been, huh? What an inconvenience this has been for everybody. Oh, well. Well, look, it's going to get better. I promise. Right. And I just, who knows when too. All right. Being that we're on the, please don't ask us anything about fucking AEW. Can we do this too? Please don't ask us anything about when people are coming in. We have no fucking idea. And neither does the company. As proof to that concept, if you've taken a look at the Best of the Super Juniors lineup and or the
have you seen Minoru Suzuki's tag partner for the World Tag League, everyone?
Yeah, they don't know. We don't know. I'll tell you what, being that we're all over the map, why not? This is going to be one of those fucking shows. I wish I got a couple beers. That would have been great. I noticed somebody, like two people, very absent from that World Tag League lineup. Can you guess who?
Okada?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Well, he's not usually in it anyway. And Ishii?
Yeah, it's another one.
Yeah, well, they're both working the San Jose show, so they'll be in the States.
Does that mean AEW, Joel?
Come on. Oh, man, I can't wait for them to appear on Dynamite and wrestle my favorite guy, like the guy who does the thing. And
the dinosaur guy?
You know, the two fellas with the hat. And oh, rubbing my hands together.
Joe, do you see how long I took to get to that fucking line? I went a country mile. I took out my...
Of course, if a New Japan wrestler is flying over to America, they've got to be working Dynamite. Surely. Tony Khan going over in his private jet. Oh my God, someone sent me a tweet yesterday.
Yeah.
And I want to read it to you.
Please.
Oh yeah, I'm going to find it here.
Got it.
I'm not going to name who it is, but just that this is the kind of thing that makes me tear my fucking hair out. Because AEW in the past 12 hours have now teased Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kota Ibushi in some capacity on their shows. Mm. Best pro wrestling promotion in the world. I dare you to doubt this statement.
Mm.
638 likes. What the how is that? If you want to give me some reasons why AEW is the best promotion in the world, I'll buy it. You know,
yeah.
You're probably right. There's plenty of great reasons you could give me to tell me they're the best. But hinting at three wrestlers who don't work for them
right.
as proof that they're the best company, I don't understand.
You know. I don't know. Look, I'm going to be very truthful with you. You know I have a Twitter account that I rarely look at, but I have one. I have all pro wrestling. I have the word pro wrestling, AEW, blocked. I don't want to see any of it because it's that
that's
kind
that's
of...
That's I'm going to mute it. I'm muting it.
Mute it.
You're right like, in my AEW yep. Rampage, all of it.
Yep. Just mute it. Mute it all. A person once said a well curated Twitter account is happiness. Well, I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, what better way to commemorate this day than by chasing off half of my listenership? What do you think about these WWE releases, Damon? Any interesting guys like Biff Busick, Keith Lee, Gran Metalik, / Mascara Dorada. Anyone there that you think would be a good fit?
I think, and this is something that a lot of people have been asking for, I think that women's division in New Japan Pro Wrestling is ready to get launched.
It's right around the corner.
Because we got our cornerstone right now. we got the cornerstone of that women's division right now. As a free agent, but soon to be signed. Picked up.
Eva Marie, you're talking about, right?
I'll tell you what. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm all in on the Eva Marie.
Stick her in this World Tag League. I wouldn't notice.
I promise you, she's probably better than more than a few. I would take. There are names that have been cut that are absolutely interesting names, right? There are names that, I would sign tomorrow. The problem is this, Joel. I don't think this company, and we do a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast, by the way. I don't think this company can afford to sign all these people to contracts or long-term deals or anything like that. If they do bring them in, it would be one shots in the beginning until they kind of get moving again. When that will be, I don't know. I mean, you hope it's relatively soon, but I don't know. We got three fucking nights at a Tokyo Dome, or two nights and a third Wrestle Kingdom. Would that be a nice spot? Yes, it's on paper. It sounds fantastic. I would have no problem making things very interesting. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. And here's another thing. Speaking of two nights at the fucking Tokyo Dome, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, because this might have slipped through my well-curated Twitter account. January 4th, we are guaranteed Okada Shingo, correct?
Correct.
Does that eliminate the idea and the possibility of Shingo, or the winner of Shingo and Okada, who we're assuming is Okada, then goes on to night two and has to wrestle again in the main event?
I'm assuming that's what is going to happen. So we had a question from Love Wrestling. Do you expect Ospreay to face the winner of Okada versus Shingo on night two or three?
Okay.
What is the point of him gallivanting around in the USA and I'm the real world champion, blah, blah, blah. Right. Actually, there was a good quote from Tetsuya Naito, who said on the Shingo Osprey Okada title situation. Here's a quote. Even I, a member of the company, doesn't understand what's going on. And the audience watching doesn't understand what's going on. And he's not wrong.
No.
But he fucking started this mess.
He kind of
so
did.
So don't come along saying, oh, look at this terrible situation. It's the... Yeah. I think you should leave. It's the guy in the hot dog suit with a hot dog car crashed into the shop saying, we're all trying to find the guy who did this.
Yeah. I got pointing fingers. And that's at him. So that would mean, again, if we're talking about Okada winning and then going on and then Will challenging on night two. Look, I know that that's going to be a great match. I think both matches will be fan-fucking-tastic. This will be like the seventh time they've wrestled? Singles match, right? Six, seven?
Well, okay, so put it like this. Okada has lost to Shingo twice this year. Lost to him in the New Japan
Cup. That's fine.
He lost to him at whatever it was, the show where they did wrestling. So he's got to get his win back. That's how they do things here.
That's fine. I got no problem with Shingo and Okada. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, you're talking about Ospreay. Right,
it's no Ospreay match. And yes, okay. Right. Here's the thing. Again, the match will be great. No doubt in my mind it will be great. And I don't want to seem like I'm complaining about great pro wrestling because I'm not. I'm like, is that Wrestle Kingdom main event worthy? I guess is my question. A match that we've seen, again, we're going on sixth, seventh time that we've seen this match.
So just so we're clear, we're talking Okada Ospreay.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Now, again, one of those matches was in Rev Pro, the first one, right? The first meeting. And then they wrestled in 2018. They wrestled two times in 2019, 2020, 2021. I mean, we've seen this match a lot, right?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they're counting on the gimmick of world champion against guy who claims he's the real world champion being an added,
I guess, but does that I guess my question is this. One, the fact that, okay, we've seen this match plenty of times. Two, is the big stage, does that matter enough? And three, great pro wrestler aside, again, all three of those guys are fucking great pro wrestlers. Please don't get me wrong. Are they Wrestle Kingdom main event guys?
Well, Okada, yes. I mean, obviously he's got the pedigree for it. He's been doing it for ages. But Ospreay and Shingo,
I don't know, man.
It's so hard to tell whether or not they are quote unquote stars in this clap crowd environment. Like, you can't tell if someone is a star in a half empty arena where people are just clapping.
It's a good point.
So perhaps, just throwing this out there, maybe they are keeping all the hot, fresh, new matches in the holster for when things can finally get back to normal. And they are deliberately cycling through main events between top guys, but matches we've seen plenty of times before. So matches that, you know, big names, but they could count on them. They know they're going to go and deliver a brilliant match, but it's, you know, they're not leaving money on the table.
Right. That's a good point. Okay. I mean,
to prove my point, last year's Wrestle Kingdom, we had Naito Ibushi. We've seen that loads of times before.
True.
Jay White, Ibushi, second night. We've seen that loads of times before. I think that, I don't know if that's intentional, if this is sort of the COVID plan, but that's the impression I get, at least.
I think you're spot on with it. I think that's as best an explanation as I'll get, right? And again, I'm not complaining about the matches. I'm not complaining about the talent. I'm just saying, A, we've seen it a lot before, and B, I'm a little bit skeptical of those guys being Wrestle Kingdom headlining performers. And you're right. I don't think they've gotten a fair shake with COVID and clap crowds and all that. So how can you judge, right? Okay.
And look, if we're going to be honest, running two night Wrestle Kingdoms consecutively and next year doing three nights of Wrestle Kingdom, they're diluting that prestige of being a Wrestle Kingdom main event.
Correct.
Doesn't mean what it used to mean.
I agree with that as well. And I was going to mention that. I was going to ask you, do you feel right off the bat, Okada, he's got the history and he's, you know, but has he been diluted? And has a guy like Tanahashi been deluded? And the idea of just getting through these past couple of years where you had to make stars out of guys who, okay, if all things were equal, probably wouldn't have gotten the shakes that they got. Does that hurt the company in the sense of, okay, we got you know, just nonsense going on with these top guys? And again, Tanahashi, you can argue, you know, downwards trend of his career, blah, 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 getting up in age, injuries, yep. And he doesn't apparently have a problem lying down to just about anybody. Again, I just something is missing from that main event and for all the reasons that, again, we just talked about. So job by you. There you go.
All right, let's look at these World Tag League lineups then.
Oh.
So we have got Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi, Satoshi Kojima and Hiroshi Tenzan, Tiger Mask and Yuji Nagata. Word on the street is that Nagata was originally supposed to be teaming with Ibushi. I don't know if that's true, but obviously now it's Tiger Mask. Honma and Makabe, Tangalo and Tama Tonga, Hanare and Great Okan, Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale, Yano and Tanahashi, Yujiro and Evil, Yoshihashi and Goto, Sanada and Tetsuya Naito. I guess the big news here, this is Tetsuya Naito's comeback. Oh yeah, one team I forgot. Minoru Suzuki and Taka Michinoku. So questions here. Multiverse A says, has Taka been moved to the heavyweight division or is this just a one-time thing for him? A singles match between him and Zack would be really interesting to see. So my understanding, Taka did some pretty shit things. Again, this could be wrong, but my interpretation of it is that he was basically pestering women for sex, women who were buying tickets to his shows off him, and he was sort of using his ticket leverage to get them into bed, which is a bad and shitty thing to do. And if you are not interested in watching this team on account of that, good for you. Do I think he's, you know, now he's back, he's a heavyweight? No, I think this is a stopgap thing. I mean, who knows if there were original plans. Maybe it was supposed to be someone like Lance Archer. I'm talking about AEW again. Voices of Wrestling had a report saying that Dick Togo tried to bring Taka Michinoku back for the Super Junior Tag League, teaming with Doki. But either way, there are little things to look forward to with him being back, at least. Him and Taichi being in the ring again after their 2017 Best of the Super Juniors Classic, where they didn't touch each other.
Yeah.
And Zack and Taka having a little wrestle together. So that should be fun, putting aside all the other issues. But yeah, this is a fucking driest toast World Tag League, isn't it? I mean, there's really not much to get excited about. Dangerous Techers would be great. They're always great. I'm sure the LIJ team will be really good. I like Yoshihashi Goto. They're fine. And I'm going to be looking very closely at the Empire team of Hinari and Great Okan, because I feel like they are the ones who should be getting the big push. I think they should win this tournament, personally. I don't know if they will. We're probably going to be looking at Guerrillas of Destiny against LIJ Final or something like that. But yeah, it's hard to get really excited about any of this. Again, if it were up to me, we'd have Hinari and Okan winning, and them challenging Tekkers for the belts at Wrestle Kingdom would be my favored outcome there.
So, and I mean, again, I know we talked a lot about airports and shit like that. Wouldn't it have been nice to see some guys from Strong? Like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, again, I don't know the legal, what the rules are anymore. I'm so confused by it. I don't know. So I might be completely talking out of my ass right now. But like, if guys can get over there, like a guy like Carl Fredericks, why can't Carl Fredericks be there, Joel?
Well, I think they booked a lot of the people in for the San Jose
show. Oh, come on with the San Jose. I mean, seriously. San Jose's going to draw fucking what? What? Give me the ceiling for fucking San Jose.
You know, 2,000.
Right. Maybe? We're gonna lose our fucking minds over a $2,000 fucking shot.
Yeah, but for what? Like, why torpedo one of your flagship US shows for the sake of fluffing up the fucking World Tag League, which is no one fucking watches anyway. Okay, a lot of these shows are video on demand, so I I think they probably made the right call, to be honest.
Really?
I think the border changes came in too late. I think they had everything penciled in both in Japan and the US. No one watches this tour anyway, so why?
Nobody does.
Why, you know, rock the boat trying to make the World Tag League better?
You talked about the best team.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, because why not? I mean, I don't know. Just
next year, Damon.
Next year.
Next year. It's going to be great next year. All right. All your favorites in there.
All right. Luchasaurus.
Find out where the Regal twins are. I'll look for them.
We'll cover them
somewhere.
I haven't heard anything, right? Not a peep? We heard nothing, huh? Mm. All right, you said your favorite team. Who's your least favorite team in that World Tag League right now?
Okay, so which team does nothing for me here? I don't know. There's still a kind of appeal.
Really?
They still get pro wrestling, and they'll be able to get me cheering for them and emotionally invested. You know, they're dads. I'm a dad. I can't not cheer the dads. I'd say Yano Tanahashi is doing very little for me. I would say Honma Makabe because taking many bumps. But I'm looking forward to Honma Makabe against G.O.D. and if they're going to start swearing at each other like they did at Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Just stop and think of this right now. Honma Makabe. Good fucking Lord.
What? Lest we forget, they won it. They won it 5 years ago, not that long ago.
5 years is a fucking eternity in pro wrestling. Holy mackerel. Oh, my goodness. Can I ask you this? I'm going to set the over-under number, not including the finals. I'm going to set the over-under at four. Four shows. How many shows are you watching?
Man. I'm probably not going to be watching anything just in terms of my family commitments. What I usually do, if someone on Discord or Twitter or whatever says, hey,
good,
you got to check out this match, it was really good, then I will check it out. Because I'm sure there will be some. I mean, any sort of permutation of Dangerous Techers, Yoshihashi Goto, G.O.D., I mean, they were both pretty great, particularly Tama Tonga in the G1. So maybe a bit renewed interest there. The Empire team and the LIJ team. I'm sure when they face off against each other, it's going to be good, and I'll enjoy watching it.
Look, God bless the people who are going to watch every fucking show. You're better than me. I'm just trying to find an angle. I'm trying to find an angle of okay, you can sink your teeth into this and really get. There's nothing.
No, don't waste your time. Just give me your prediction for the final and the winners, and let's move on.
I'll go United Empire. I'll go Hanari and Okan. I mean, I hope that'd be something fresh. It'll give both those guys something to do at Wrestle Kingdom, right? At least one of those nights, a decent spotlight match. I think it'd be good. Yeah.
Just looking at the card for the final night. You can't really read too much into it. You've got Yoshihashi Goto against Dangerous Techers. We have Hanari Okan against Guerrillas of Destiny and Sanada Naito against Yujiro Evil. So you'd expect a lot of those teams to still be in the mix come the final night.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do Naito Sanada again? Oh.
Well, if they don't, what else is Naito doing at Wrestle Kingdom? I know I said I want Empire to win, but...
I mean... I would think, again, it is two nights, but man, you would think it would be a bit of a marquee semi-main event for the guy, right?
Well, maybe the fact that they're facing off against Evil and Yujiro on the final night, they're going to set up a singles feud, the one that we've wanted for years, Naito against Yujiro as Team No Limit Explode.
Finally the blow-off. The payoff happens. All right. Well, look, World Tag League is what it is. It is always one of those things. But you know what that did remind me of? I'm going to say some words that you might not want to hear. Super J Cast Awards. What are we doing?
We just like give all the awards to Jeff Cobb and call it a day.
Yeah, you know what? That's something we have to do. Number one, I mean, to pull back the curtain on a production meeting, but yeah, we have to do that. We have to do it. We can't hand wave it. It has to continue. I won't let it die. But Is it a slam dunk wrestler of the year for you?
Shingo.
Yeah.
Okay. No, there's no one even close.
Tag team of the year slam dunk?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What, Dangerous Techers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm racking my brains to see if there's anyone else. I mean, I would like to give some love to Team Filthy, just for being
Cornerstone
as strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
This is going to be a weird year for the awards. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a weird fucking year. Huh. All right, so just something to think about in the future, everyone. Get your picks in soon. We'll figure that out. All right. Have we beaten the World Tag League to death?
Yes. Yeah, all right. With that. Let's look at the best of the Super Juniors.
Oh, even better.
Where we have the champion, El Desperado, El Fantasmo, Bushi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Robbie Eagles, Hiromu Takahashi, Master Watto, Doki, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Taiji Ishimori. Now, I know a lot of people... Wait, is that everyone? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Oh, how many people in this? Have I missed 2 people?
Go through the lineup.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back.
It'll kill time on the podcast.
Great audio. Okay, let's try again. Bushi,
Guy,
Doki, Kanemaru, right. Ishimori, uh-huh. Taguchi, Eagles, Watto, Fantasmo, Yo, uh-huh. Hiromu, Despy and Show. I forgot about Yo and Show. Okay, right. So this is where it's gone wrong, because I was reading the lineup from the final night on December the 11th, but for some reason they've left off Show and Yo, who I assume are going to be wrestling each other.
Yo's still a pro wrestler, huh? Okay.
I know people are down on this lineup. They wanted some fresh talent, and I get that, but I am going to go to bat for this lineup. I think this is really good. So I think it's going to be a very good tournament, because it is most of the guys who were there last year. And last year I thought was a very good tournament. But now we've added some names into the mix who weren't there last year. So Fantasma wasn't there last year. Yo was injured. Kanemaru was injured. So we're putting them into the mix for a start, which is going to improve things. Despy's the champion. I think he's had a tremendous year. So I think, if anything, he's improved since he was in there last year. And hopefully with the swagger of being the champion, more main events for him, we're going to see a bit extra from him. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm glad ELP's there. Bushi is Bushi. He'll be fine when he gets a tap on the shoulder. Robbie Eagles, I mean, you can't not get excited for Robbie Eagles. He's been outstanding.
Yep.
Hiromu is great. Hiromu's always great. Watto, I think, has improved a ton over the last year. So I'm going to be watching him very closely. And the same for Doki. I always rated Doki, but seeing the brilliant match he had with Hiromu Takahashi has made me excited to see, you know, what is he going to get up to against, like, you know, Doki versus El Desperado. That should be incredible. So looking forward to him. Taguchi, again, you're going to get nonsense, but tap on the shoulder, Taguchi. Remember the match you had with Hiromu last year was brilliant. One of my favorite matches of the year. I love that one. Ishimori is pretty great. He was good last year. Show New Lick of Paint with this House of Torture thing. We'll see how that manifests itself. And Yo as well. I think Yo's going to have a point to prove after missing out on last year. So I think, you know, there's 12 guys in there. I don't think there's any dead wood in there. There's no filler. There's just that is 12 good to great pro wrestlers. And I think people should be excited for this.
Okay. I agreed with you all the way. All the way up until you said people should be excited for it. And I'll tell you why. If you took that lineup, right, and said, okay, we're going to plop this in fucking Hammerstein Ballroom, or we're going to drop that in, I don't know, pick York Hall, or we're going to drop that in anywhere, like, people would be, like, excited, and they would be pumped. But the fact that it is not, there's nothing that made anyone jump out of their seat, it feels stale and flat and cold and all of that. That is a fucking great lineup. Honestly, the problem is that no one has any emotional attachment. Like, what you're going to see are great matches, right? And probably a fantastic final that will be in contention for a match of the year right out of the gate. Like, this is stuff that we know. And it's, I'll go so far as to say, it's stuff that we expect. The problem is that in this day where surprises and signings and excitement and all this stuff all around, this great lineup feels flat. And it feels just... Pro wrestling is great. And we said it 1,000 times. Pro wrestling is great, not only for the great athletic matches that you can see, but also for the drama and the storylines and the feeling of, I got to watch this. This is something I need to watch. I don't think anyone is sitting there saying, I got to watch this. I think people will say, oh my God, that is great. I think the reviews will be outstanding. But as we sit here, it's hard for people to come up with a reason to be like, ooh, I got to watch this. I got to watch this.
Yeah, and I get that. And people are going to sleep on it. People are going to skip it, and that's fine. But I think the people who do watch it are going to be rewarded. And, you know, what you described, that's New Japan 2021 in a nutshell, isn't it? Great matches in a vacuum. So
that's what you're
going to get more of the same here. Yeah. And I guarantee you, if you sit down and watch any of these Best of Super Junior shows, you are not going to be disappointed. You're going to be walking away from that thinking, oh, that was a good-ass show.
Right.
And... So I hope people enjoy it, but I don't. I think this is the best that New Japan could do given the circumstances, and you know, for sickos like me, it looks good. I'm looking forward to it.
I think everybody on that lineup, like, go through that lineup, Joel, and tell me what would be the on paper the worst possible match out of all those guys.
Bushi against
Wato.
Wato, yeah. But even that, I mean, I'm sure, right. I'll watch that and think, you know what, that was really good.
Yeah, I'm sure that if they put their fucking minds and hearts and bodies and, you know, Bushi carries it, it'll be good. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of great – that lineup is stacked. That's a fucking stacked lineup, guys. I get it. It's in a vacuum. No need to beat the dead horse. It's in a vacuum.
Just looking at this lineup for the final night. So we have Despy against Phantasmo, Eagles against Hiromu, and Sho against Yo. I think those will be the important matches going into the final night. If I had to pick, I would say maybe a Hiromu Phantasmo final. That would be my pick. Or maybe Hiromu Sho.
Sho. Yeah. I think Sho. I think that, I think especially with you know who, Dickie Togo, Dickie T, wanting to get that what are they called? The haunted fucking castle. What are they called? What's the faction, Joel?
House of Torture.
House of fucking Torture. The Haunted Castle, whoever the fuck. Who cares?
That's a great faction name, actually.
The Haunted Castle?
Yeah, I love it.
That's our faction, buddy. That's ours. That's us. That's what do we call you? What do we open the show with? Daddy, two daddy? What?
Jolly two kids.
Jolly two kids.
It's like the Zaki two belts. Like Jolly two kids.
Yeah, you can carry them to the ring. You could drag one behind like Naito.
We're going after the Never Trios titles. That's my plan.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, what the fuck's happening with that?
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get
there. Two months on the shelf.
Are you thinking Hiromu to win the tournament? Yeah, Hiromu Despy Wrestle Kingdom.
I think. Well, I mean, do you think Sho has a shot? I kind of do.
Sho against Despy for Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, maybe, but then what are we saving Hiromu Despy for?
Okay, but here's just an outside thought. We always got to fall back on fucking Hiromu. Like, every time we got to fall back.
He's the other division. Like, why would you leave him out?
I don't know. Can we do something else? Like, it just seems like he's like the savior of the fucking division.
I hear you. So you think maybe Sho.
Oh, I'm just saying. I mean, if there's going to be a dark horse, like if there's going to be somebody that's not Hiromu, because I'm going on record and saying it's Hiromu. But if there's, you know, a little shakeup, I think Sho's got to be that guy, right? He's got to be top of that list. I mean, who else? There's nobody else.
No.
You figure Ishimori and ELP will be fucking junior tagging it, right? Yeah, maybe somebody else. It's got to be this. For a dark horse, there's nobody else. I mean, Yo, you think Yo gets an upset win? By the way, that finals night,
I can see it. I mean, him getting his revenge on Sho and spoiling him.
Yep. Yeah. That's where we're going with this, right? That's a big L for Sho to Yo, and that pretty much guarantees Hiromu winning the whole kit and caboodle.
All right, let's have a look at Power Struggle then, which I thought was a really good show. We're back to the old 9 matches on the card. We had a lot of championship matches, a lot of title matches. What do you think of the show overall?
That was good. I don't think there was any real genuine surprises, was there? I mean, I think people were begging for surprises, but there really wasn't anything to be had. I take that back. I think the biggest surprise was probably Tama Tonga, right? And I don't think that was a massive surprise. It just in his performance. I think it was a nice, pleasant. It was kind of like something that you had that you knew was possible, but the fact that it actually came to pass was pleasing. I guess pleasing is the word I'm looking for. Because again, I wasn't surprised, but I'm walking out of that show and I'm thinking that's probably what we're – that's – right? Is that the biggest memory to you?
Yeah, I think so. That was probably my biggest highlight of the show. I mean, rather than dissecting the match, let's just get into it. So let's go from the top. The main event, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Shingo Takagi successfully defending against Zack Sabre Jr. 30 minutes, 27 seconds with Last of the Dragon. Yeah, I thought this was really great. I mean, two brilliant – wrestlers having a brilliant pro wrestling match. Did encounter the drama problems where I never really expected Zach to win. And I thought that I was talking about this with Jay Michael from VOW, who rightly pointed out that what they did with the Zach driver, where they did the first Zach driver and then Shingo rolled out of the ring, which Jay Michael pointed out, you know, that creates a bit of mystery. Like, oh, if he managed to pin him, what would have happened? Mm. Intrigue, you know, we want to see this resolved. But then later on in the match, he hits a Zach driver and Shingo just kicks out anyway. So I was like, well, okay, what was the point of doing that? That feels like a sort of minor quibble in what I thought was a really great, hard-hitting match. One of my favorite Zach matches of the year. Just good shit.
We've said that a lot about Zach, though. You know what I mean? Like, we've said that a lot about him. I think he gets votes for Wrestler of the Year. He won't win, but he'll get votes. I think so. Yeah, I feel the same way as you in the sense that I just looking at into the future, I was like, there's no fucking way Zach wins. It would be what a moment it would have been. But yeah, I think that's what hurt the match the most. But those two guys are so fucking talented, they can overcome that. I tell you another thought that I was thinking during that match is imagine if this was in front of a packed house. Ugh. How much better that could have been just to have that in front of a fucking packed house. It would have been really lovely. And maybe we'll see that again, right? Maybe that's something we could see in the relatively near future. I mean, I know I always say we don't say it, but then I ask you, I mean, where are we at with the flakes?
Maybe like 4.25.
Yeah, I'm in that range. I'm in that ballpark. That's fair.
Which is about as good as you can hope for a spot like that. Okay, then the 8th match was the IWGP World Heavyweight Right to Challenge in Tokyo Dome contract. Kazuchika Okada defeated Tama Tonga in 25 minutes, 13 seconds. And like you, I came away from this thinking, yes, Tama Tonga. I'm just a renewed love for the man because I thought he had a really, really good G1. Admiring the fact that he got on the fucking plane, you know, when other people were refusing, he got on the plane. Not only did he get on the plane, he worked his nuts off and delivered a really good tournament and I thought an outstanding co-main event here. And, you know, like I said, there's always the drama problem because no one ever expected Tama Tonga to win this. I didn't expect, at no point did I think, oh, we might actually win this. But in spite of that, they had a fucking great pro wrestling match. And, you know, part of me thinks anyone on this roster put in that spot, given 25 minutes against Okada, would be able to have a great pro wrestling match. That's, you know, you should be able to do that if you're in New Japan. But all the same, for all the grief that Tama Tonga's got over the years, you know, you could go back to, like, I don't know, 2017 or whatever, when we're thinking, oh, maybe this is going to be Tama Tonga's breakout year. I think we finally got it. And I still think he's primarily a tag guy. But if you were to say to me, and we have a few questions on this, and Chuck Sizzlebee says, Tama Tonga ready for a real deal singles push after two great matches with Okada. MBTL OUFC says, Tama Tonga smashed G1. Who's his next single feud with? I would not be against the idea of giving him a little singles push. I you know, I wouldn't be saying strap him up with anything. But, you know, if he's going to challenge for a, you know, never title or a US title, I wouldn't be against that. I think he's proven himself here. If you were to say, you know, let's give Jay White's whole push to Tama Tonga, make Tama Tonga leader of the Bullet Club, I wouldn't even say no to that either, to be honest, because he's really won me over this year.
I agree. He would be absolutely fine. The problem is, I think, that most people have is the consistency, because I think we've been let down a little bit before with that, oh, there's a glimmer of, oh, there's even more of a glimmer. Oh, there's a shining star. And then, whoop, we kind of fall back. You're right. There's nobody on that roster that can't have a great match put in that spotlight with a guy like Okada, you know? But I would not have any problems with a single run. I would have no problem with a secondary title. I would have no problem with that. You know, a little cup of coffee with it, that's fine. My one concern would be, okay, just be consistent. And I think that was probably a big thing with early with, like, Tai Chi, right? You know, he would pull out a great match with Ishii, or he would pull out a great match something against whomever. And I guess I just didn't want to put all my faith into that and say, okay, we're guaranteed that now and forevermore. I mean, that's a big ask, I think. Let's see if he can do it again. Here's what I would be willing to do, though. Let's give him the opportunity to do so. And I think that would work out. Him against Jeff Cobb. Him against Taichi. Him against Tanahashi. Him against pick a guy. Absolutely could work. All of the above. Let's have the great match to go along with it. And I think it would work. Because here's the thing. I think he's a very good microphone. I think he's got the charisma. He's got everything you need. He's got everything you need. Okay, let's just put together the singles match. And consistently, and I think we have something here.
The seventh match was the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship match, where Kenta defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi in 23 minutes, 44 seconds with a go to sleep. Really nasty table spot in this one.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a really good match, as expected, between these two.
Better than I thought.
Yeah. And, I mean, everyone's talking about the comments that Kenta made afterwards, where he was calling out CM Punk over the go to sleep. Yep. Do you think that's an inevitability? Do you think we're going to see that match at some point in the future?
Was it, is that an AEW tweet you're giving me?
No, we're getting Punk on the plane. Kenta's gone back to the States, so presumably he's going to be doing US title stuff in the States. The reason I mention it, you know, this is not me fantasy booking. This is something Kenta has explicitly said in his backstage promo. Not only that, but this was referenced and quote tweeted by the official New Japan Twitter account saying something like, did Kenta just call out who we think he called out? And, you know, a lot of the times New Japan wrestlers, they just say shit.
Right.
They do that. But when the official company social media is shining a light on it, then it makes me think, there might be something there.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Maybe we can ask them. Do I think we're going to see it? I think there's a significant chance we will. There's a significant chance we will. When, where, how? I think what this year has proven is that anything is possible in the world of professional wrestling at this point. All the again, anything is possible. So I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Because here's the thing, too. I think both guys want to do it. I think both guys want to do it. So I think that, like, logistically, they just have to figure out a time and a place, right? The most logical idea would be here in the States, right, at this point, because we can have full houses. We got a big paydays. I really just think it's about organizing the schedule to make that work. Joel, I'm telling you flat out, that stadium show, I think that's more of a possibility than ever before. Like, I promise you, 2022, we'll see an outdoor show from AEW that New Japan is involved with. I have no doubt about it. I would be shocked as fuck, and you can quote me on that, shocked as fuck if that doesn't happen.
The sixth match was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match with El Desperado defeating Robbie Eagles in 18 minutes, 20 seconds by Numero Dos. I thought this was outstanding.
Yep.
I mean, for the spot they had on the cards, they were brilliant. They did everything they needed to do. And the chemistry, like the fluidity and the sequences, the transitions, reversals, was just off the charts. So I think we've really got to hand it to these guys. In a year that has been plagued by injury and uncertainty and travel issues, that we've had, been able to have a sustained series of matches between these guys. And we're going to get a third one in Best of the Super Juniors, where I just don't think it's getting enough love. I thought this was tremendous.
Yeah, Robbie Eagles has been an anchor this year, hasn't he? Like, he's been an anchor. And he hasn't had the best year, you know, from a personal standpoint, for all, you know, the quarantining. If I'm not mistaken, he had a family member that he lost to passed away. I think I'm right in that. You know, so it's not been the best of times, but he's come through.
Getting on the fucking plane.
Yeah.
Doing the quarantine.
Yep.
For our entertainment.
Yep. Yep.
We respect it.
I respect that. Joel, let me tell you something. Every one of those guys that are there and have gone through it this year, I have the utmost respect for. I have the utmost respect for. And that's not to say the people who didn't, because I don't know the full story of the reasons why they didn't. All I know is that there are people that did. And they did that for our entertainment. And I got to respect that.
Fifth match, the provisional KOPW 2021. The holder, Toriano, defeating the challenger, Great O'Khan,
yeah,
in an amateur wrestling match, 6-5 over two periods. Mm. What did you think of this one? I think this is quite interesting. I think it was more interesting and entertaining than any of the previous KOPW shenanigans. I love them coming out in their singlets.
Right.
You know, O'Khan with his gear and his headbands. I thought that was really cool. I thought this was quite fun, actually.
Yeah, it was different. I enjoyed it. I think what the problem is that I don't like the gimmick, period. Like, I don't like the... like, I don't like the idea of this thing being a reality in the New Japan Pro Wrestling ring. And I think that anything that we're doing feels like it is in its own universe. It's like this, again, the whole singlet thing. And it was kind of funny, you know, to have a guy like O'Khan be, you know, now, and I know he has the amateur background, but still, you know what I'm getting at. Like, it's just this whole self-contained universe inside of New Japan, and it's just I don't know. And it's not to say that things have been horrible, but there's been some horrible things, and I guess that leaves a bitter taste in my mouth. I'm trying to grade it on just its own merits.
Yeah, I mean, it's a world away from the fucking lights out match with Evil and the, you know, 28 minutes of the Chase Owens match,
right? But it's just continuous stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's just continuous. Okay, now what goofy thing can we do? And it's just, I don't know. Here's the problem. It's not for me. And it's hard for me to be objective with that and be like, oh, yeah, okay, this is really great. When I'm just like, what am I watching? Like, it's a beautiful day outside. What am I doing?
You know what I mean? Fifth, buried in the middle of the cards, right, in, what was it, 10 minutes or something?
Right.
No, less than that. It was 3 minutes per period, wasn't it?
Right, but then there's like that little gap. So I'm sure the total... from ring entrance to final bell, what are we looking at?
Like, oh, you're watching the ring entrances, are you, Damon?
Oh, you're fast forwarding?
Yeah.
Oh, I love his. Here's the thing. I love a great Ocon entrance, though. Usually, anyway.
Yeah. I hear you. A normal great Ocon ring entrance when he's got the full gear on.
It's my favorite
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely, I'm with you. Yes.
Yeah. And I've said it before. That could easily sway into, this is ridiculous. What am I watching? What is this guy doing? But it's he straddles the line. He straddles the line, the discordant rhyme. Yeah, it's good. Speaking of which, I was going to ask you, have you listened to the new Duran Duran album? It's fucking fantastic, Joel, but you don't give a shit. All right, go to
Fourth match was the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championship match where the challengers, Sho, Yujiro, and Evil defeated the reigning defending champions, Yoshihashi, Tomohiro Ishii, Hiroki Goto, in 30 minute seconds. Evil pinned Yoshihashi following the Evil.
End of an era.
I don't have any problems with this, actually. I think their championship reign ran its course. They were great. I love their reign. I thought all their matches were really good, but I think it's the right time to hand the belts over to someone else.
Yep.
I thought this was the perfect length, 30 minutes. I thought they did a perfectly great job here. Everyone got their stuff in. It was really fun to watch. You know, a lot of shenanigans at the end, Sho with his wrench and all that, but you know, you come to expect that. And again, the fourth match out of nine,
right,
in a 30-minute long match for one of the lower titles on the roster, I'm absolutely fine with this. So I'm intrigued to see what House of Torture do with these titles. Probably nothing good.
But it's we'll the castle, see. The Haunted Castle.
The Haunted Castle, yeah. Okay, we're going to call them the Haunted Castle from now on.
Haunted Castle have now, they now have obligations. They now have things to do with these titles. And I am more than willing to pass up the idea of a tag team that will get votes for Tag Team of the Year. Dropping the titles, finally doing it to them. Because now, guess what that means? They have obligations. The Haunted Castle. We know, hopefully, fingers crossed, that means they'll be out of the mix. So everything can be self-contained in there. And those matches might even be fun. Because now we're talking about a six-man. And it might be just fucking balls to the wall. Whoop. If they're in and out of there in 10 minutes, that could be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't come at us with any more 36-minute right. long Koraku and Hall main events, because I'm not down for that. But middle of the cards, 12, 13 minutes, sign me up.
Yep.
Let's go for it.
And then you wash your hands of it, right? Now, that's that. Okay, now we can get on with the rest of the fucking show. I'm kind of okay with this. I really am. And we talked about that last week. I'm kind of okay with this.
I did not watch the first three matches on the show, so if you have any hot takes about them.
Remind me who they were. I don't even know if I did or I didn't.
So Wato Taguchi, no. Nagata against Bushi Hiromu Sanada, Tiger Mask Honma Makabe against Jado Gedo Tangaloa, and Fujita Oiwa against Doki Kanemaru.
Did I watch that? I think I did, but it was, you know, what would you expect? Good match. I'm trying to think, did I watch the other one? I couldn't tell you if I did or I didn't, but I mean, does anybody really care about that? No, of course not. Okay.
Welkie says, before World Tag League, what do you think of Zack Sabre Jr.'s year? If you had a pencil, is he main eventing more shows next year? And that is my question.
I hope so. I think, look, he's one of my favorite pro wrestlers. I enjoy his style. I enjoy him in the ring. I enjoy his post-match interviews. He's right up there. I would have zero problem with a singles run. And I think he is well-deserved to get some flowers this year. So, yes.
Okay, let me give my brief thoughts on Strong, which was the show that you attended live in the 2300 Arena.
Remind
so we had J.R. Kratos, Royce Isaacs, Jarrell Nelson, defeating the team of Yuta Uemura, Alex Coughlin, and David Finley. So, again, I just want to throw love at Team Filthy for being the cornerstone of New Japan Strong, sort of the heartbeat of it. They've been there pretty much the whole time. And I think one of the most fun elements of it. And they're really building up JR Kratos to look like a monster. So I'm very excited to see eventually if he can make it over to Japan. I think the Japanese fans would love him. I think he'd be a big hit over there. So fingers crossed on that one. And again, I just can't say enough good things about West Coast Wrecking Crew. They are maybe one of my favorite New Japan tag teams at the moment. I just think the synergies there, the tag team moves are there. They've just got that sort of collegiate wrestling vibe as well. I don't even know if they are collegiate wrestlers, but they give me those vibes from, like, you know, the world's greatest tag team back in the WWF days. So I thought that was a lot of fun. The second match, Juice Robinson against El Fantasmo. I saw this one got a lot of hate from people who were there live. I thought it was fine, actually, considering these are two guys who are not really my favorite wrestlers. I'm not particularly interested in either guy, but I thought they did a pretty good job here. I thought Fantasmo looked credible in spite of being a quote-unquote junior heavyweight. And the third match, the main event, Clark Connors and Ren Narita defeating TJP and Will Ospreay.
This was good.
Of course, the match where we had Ospreay jawjack him with John Cowell from Wrestling Omakase. That was a lot of fun.
Did that make tape? And did that make camera?
Yeah, it did.
Ah! Yeah, do
that. And what this helped me realize is what Strong is for, which is, low-key, Strong is a vehicle to get Ren Narita over as a star. Because he is very quietly racking up win after win after win, big singles wins against big names, and now he's got a win in this big main event against United Empire. He's got a match against Will Ospreay coming up. He's just looking like a tough as nails ass kicker. So yeah, Ren Narita, one of the low-key success stories of New Japan Strong.
No doubt. How'd the crowd look on TV?
Good. Yeah, just it looked like a normal show, which is a compliment.
Yeah, because the building was not packed to the gills. Like, there have been other shows that I've been in that same building where it was, you know, you were shoulder to shoulder sitting there. So there were some gaps, but good. I'm glad. Look, I might just tune in just to see that. I want to see Will and John go at it. Because I was on the exact opposite side. So I didn't really see who he was yelling at until you texted me or I saw the text. I definitely got to see that. That's good shit.
Okay, so we have a couple of shows coming up on Saturday. So we've got Strong. I think, this would be the second half of that taping with Daivari against Alex Zane, Fred Rosser and Rocky Romero against Tom Lawler and Danny Limelight, White against Fred Jehi, and Chris Dickinson against Minoru Suzuki. So, Damien, any of those that you think people should go out of their way to see?
Yeah, that main event was really good. Suzuki and Dickinson, I thought that was really good. Again, we joke about Suzuki doing the same match over and over again, but that crowd ate it up. Like, he felt like he was a star. You'll see Tom Lawler eat Fred Rosser's hair. I think that is the grossest thing I've ever seen. Like, there was not to give spoilers away, but I think our people already know. But if you want to fast forward, do it now. There's a hair cutting angle where Team Filthy cut Fred Rosser's hair, and Tom Lawler picked up a chunk of his hair and put it in his own mouth and started to chew and eat it. And I swear to you, I've never felt more nauseous in my entire life. I thought I was going to vomit right there. That is the grossest thing I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
And then we have Battle in the Valley also coming up Saturday, November 13th in San Jose. And what I think is a really tasty looking card. So we'll go through it. And if you have any hot takes about any of these matches, just shout stop.
All right.
And I'll stop. All right. And you can fill in, because, like, you know, there's a lot here. First match, Yuya Uemura against Josh Alexander. I love Josh Alexander. I want more Josh Alexander in New Japan. So every time he's on one of these cards, I'm excited, because it makes me believe that this working relationship is continuing. I don't know, you know, what his contract situation is with Impact, but the fact that he's allowed to work in New Japan is great. And again, he would be one of my top names I want to see getting on a plane when things are back to normal. So I think this match would be really good. Second match, we got the Stray Dog Army, or the Stray God Army, as they misspelled it on Twitter. I got annoyed at that. Bateman and Mysterioso against Violence Unlimited, Brody King and Chris Dickinson.
Great tag.
The third match, we have a 10-man tag. He's always my favorite on Strong. So we've got Fred Rosser, David Finlay, Rocky Romero, Alex Coglin and Alex Zane against Tom Lawler, Jao Kratos, Danny Limelight, Royce Isaacs, Jarrell Nelson. Don't sleep on that one. I know usually multi-man tags people can hand wave, but they are often some of the highlights of these New Japan Strong shows. So definitely check that one out. Fourth match, Clark Connors and Carl Fredericks against Jeff Cobb and TJP. I'm excited to see Clark Connors and Jeff Cobb against each other.
Yeah, that should be a good match. On paper, that's sexy. Okay.
Fifth match, Ren Narita against Will Ospreay, who you may remember they had a really good match in the 2019 Best of the Super Juniors, I want to say.
Yeah.
So now seeing them go at it as grumpy heavyweights should be
with some time.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, with some time. That should be really fucking good. Yeah.
I think this could be the breakout match for Ren Narita.
I think people are going to be yapping about this one. Yep. I think people are going to be they're going to give them time. This might be the one. Yeah. This might be the one. All right. Good. What else?
Sixth match, we got Juice Robinson against Moose. I thought Moose was really good in his last New Japan match against Ishii. So, I mean, Juice Robinson, bless him, he for all his strengths, he is not Tomohiro Ishii. So I'm not sure what kind of match to expect here.
Yeah, me too. I have high hopes for it, though. I think Moose might be looking for a job. So, fingers crossed. All right.
Seventh match. So this is a really interesting one. Kazuchika Okada versus Buddy Matthews. I mean, I know there's all the jokes about Buddy stealing moves from Kenny, stealing moves from Okada. Like, I think he's got to have some new moves here. I don't want to see V triggers and the like here. That would bother me if he starts doing that. But again, I was given the benefit of the doubt. I know he's a really, really good pro wrestler. And what a statement of intent, not only for the company's faith in Buddy Matthews, but also as a signal for any other independent or newly released wrestlers out there thinking of making their next move, where they've taken a guy being underused by WWE and straight off the bat, given him a huge singles match on one of their biggest US shows of the year against arguably the top star in the company. So I'm sure there's a lot of other people who are thinking, planning the next move, looking at Buddy Matthews and thinking, wouldn't mind getting a bit of that myself.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know you're lying down to Okada, and that's fine, but you're going to be in a spotlight match where people are going to be talking about it and buzz, so you get your name out there. You can raise your asking price, which I'm sure is already a little bit high already, but now it gets even more because you got a guy you're in the ring with that's going to make you look even better than what you are. How about that? I think people would be very excited about that. So, you sell some tickets in the process, and your top guy gets a big win over a name that it has some recognition here. And that's a win all the way around, right? More of that, please. Thank you.
Tony says expectations for Buddy Matthews in New Japan, because I mean, obviously they're high on him, giving him this as his debut match, right?
You would think. I have not heard anything about contracts or anything along those lines. And again, I would not expect that to be a thing in the relatively near future. I think you're going to see this. You know what I mean? I think you're going to see him wrestling guys that they bring over as a marquee headline main event on individual shows, and they're going to see how that works out. They're high on him. I know they want them. Here's the only concern that I have. Okay, so he loses to Okada. Now what? What do we do with him? Is he just a guy that wrestles top name talent, like I just said? Or does he stick around?
Yeah, so arguably the follow-up is as important as the debut match.
Correct. Right? Correct. Even hours away from the birth of your second child, you were still so eloquent and say things and just sum it up with one word. That's why you're a pro.
You're too kind. Now, on that note, the main event, Never Openweight Championship match, Tomohiro Ishii challenging the challenger Jay White. Don't really have anything to say in this. Is it terrible that I just don't really care that much and not particularly excited for it?
Remember when Jay White showed up on TNA? I know I said that last week, but I still can't get over that random thought that just blazed through my mind. And I was like, oh, did that happen? You fucking, yeah, it happened. You want my honest to God opinion? Of course you do. Is there anybody more ice cold than Jay White right now?
And that's correct. I agree with you, but I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what the circumstances are. Why he's still in the States? Why he didn't get on the plane? And he's had, to be fair to him, he has not been given much to work with.
Nothing.
You know, they've been, you know, like I was saying yesterday on the Discord, the fucking stray dog army, like Barrett Brown, I like, has been given more interesting, compelling long-term feuds in New Japan this year than Jay White has. He's just, it's just, it seems like he's got scraps.
His highlight was losing at Wrestle Kingdom and the week after Wrestle Kingdom. Like, his highlight was the post-match presser. Right? And which, not for nothing, we helped. Right? I mean, I don't think I'm blowing my own horn here. We helped. Was that the most popular tweet? Like, did that get the most traction of any tweet that we put out? It's up there.
Yeah. Probably that or like memes about someone's bum or something.
Right, that's a good point.
They usually do quite well.
They usually do with our audience. Yeah, retweet that.
I mean, look, let's be real. My hit rate on the tweets is pretty high.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at Twitter.
You're pretty good at it.
I just post crap most of the time.
Nonsense. Like, what do you think is the, like, have you ever hit send and been like, oh my God, what did I just do?
Yeah, all the time. And then I just mute the tweets immediately. Like I said, mute the tweet, never think about it again.
Oh, you're the best. You're the best. But anyway, so Jay White, cold as ice. I don't know what we do. I mean, again, 3-day quarantine. I think we can handle that, right?
I don't know, because I keep hearing things like he's waiting for a green card. He's what? Married there. I was just like, oh, I don't care. I don't give a shit.
We got a whole fucking roster that can figure it out, Joel. Not for nothing.
And we got people who are lining up to take that spot from him.
Yeah.
So my patience and sympathy limited, you know.
I mean, you're gonna do what's right for your career. I get it. That's cool. I'm, you know. I mean, but if farting around on TNA is your future, did I say? Is it still?
I keep saying, he's been fucking around on Impact all year. He had two matches.
I know. You know what I mean? I know. I mean, what? Yeah. All right. Well, you know, listen. Maybe he shows up Friday night and fucking. They got a pay per view, right? AEW, right? Maybe he shows up there, Joel.
Yeah, and then that tweet will actually be correct.
Yeah, we'll keep doing it. Like I see that's our gimmick club. Now. I see. We just constantly do. There's rumors that Jay White's showing up, and he could be like blue cap.
Every week before Dynamite.
Yeah, right. Every week that's gonna be a thing. Then when it finally hits, we'd be like, "See, we fucking told you, we're the best, you fuck faces."
That is Battle in the Valley. So. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that one. Hopefully I'll get some time to watch it.
Yeah. All right, let's put a fucking pin in this. You have a child to go get. It's like you're going to the store. It's like you're going to go pick out a new car. You're getting a child. So my congratulations to you. Cheryl gives you all of her love as well. The best of luck. Prayers with you. All that. No one gives a shit about anything else we say, but Joel, baby number two, the Electric Boogaloo. Woo!
And I will accept all your donations, your birth present. What do you, birthday presents? Yeah, monetary birthday presents over at redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast. The Discord link, I don't think it is in the show notes anymore. I think we took it out. If you want to get on the Discord, send me a private message on Twitter, because we had some unsavory characters.
Still?
Well, unsavory character.
I thought it was better.
So, they stopped. So I think that problem is over. But all the same, if you want to get on the Discord, just send me a message on Twitter. DM me on Twitter. I'll send you a link. I don't care. At Cobra Kawaii and ProWrestlingTees.com/SuperJCast if you want to get one of our t-shirts. Big thank you to Editor Dan. Fucking rockstar Dan.
Yeah, live shows.
Escape the Box.
Yeah. He sent me those videos, man. I mean, these are legitimate. It was a fucking show. Oh, they look like stars. I was like, this motherfucking band is going to take off and we're going to be left in the dust, Joel. I know it.
Yeah. We're not going to have an answer. What are we going to do when Dan's doing like international tours?
I know. He's headlining Glastonbury and I'm like, wait a minute. He's like, who? Who are you? Wait a minute. You come on. No, I don't know you. I don't know who the fuck you are.
Oh dear. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. Give us a 5-star review and some nice words on iTunes to help us move up the charts. I don't know what I said, I don't care. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at the Super J Cast. Thank you everyone for listening, and goodbye.